You've arrived here at a critical moment. Tune in on real self-knowledge and creative power.
Welcome to the Well Fit with Lockie Stewart podcast. This show aims to help men improve themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, covering topics of fitness, mindfulness, and spirituality.
Hey guys.
What is happening, guys?
You're just kicking off.
Yeah, so take me. Can I take you?
Let's get big.
Sweet, guys. Once again,
getting all our technology sorted.
So it's confusing.
How are you, brother? Right. So let's wait for a few minutes till people start to drop on. Danny, what's happening, mate? Wayne, how are you, bud? All the way from Canada.
What are you doing? I'm trying to type with a bloody camera.
I do not know what Lockie's doing. So just put in the comments and make sure you guys can hear us okay. And
let us know where you're from, because I don't know half of you guys. We got heaps of people tuning in on the gram. What's happening, Lise?
You're on the run, Daddy. Good work. Easy.
Whoop.
Cool. So, what we're going to do... keep dropping out?
Yeah, anyway, we'll leave that be.
So you're tagged in on mine, so it's really fine.
Yeah.
So what we're doing, guys, today, we're actually... Punch your questions through on that, but we're actually going to talk about a topic around doing the work. So Lockie and I both talk about this a lot in our work with clients and with ourselves, is about if you want something amazing to happen, you've got to do the work. Doesn't matter what it is in your life, whether it's, you know, health and fitness, relationships, whatever, you've got to do the work. So if you guys, thanks Wayne, it's all loud and clear, awesome. So you guys punch us through the questions you want us to answer, but it can be about absolutely anything. But we're going to sort of start off just tossing that idea around, what are we going to do the work to get different results in our life. So what do you think, mate?
I was just reading a comment, brother. I'm in business with you. No idea what that means, but anyway. I think, you know, the reason why it came up for me yesterday, I think it was that a lot, you know, when I'm talking to a lot of people who reach out to me via social media and stuff, everyone's wanting the shortcut, and you know, I'm guilty of it. I wanted it for so long as well because I was fucking lazy, right?
Yeah.
And I always saw, like, when a goal came to mind for me, it was always a spur of the moment thing. I never really thought it out, how it would impact my life, the sacrifices that I would have to make in order to achieve it. So it made me feel really good.
Yeah.
So then when I was like, okay, I want to get super lean, what are the shortcuts? You know, what's the fat burners I can get on? What are the quick ab workouts I can do? All this sort of stuff. And what happened as a result of my experience going through sort of all that sort of stuff was I got a result, but then I fell back off the wagon. And
yeah,
I
perfect.
Believe it's so relatable, especially, you know, with people, whether it's physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, financial health. If you're always looking for that quick fix, you miss out on the journey, which actually teaches you the lesson or helps you grow into the person you need to be in order to maintain the result and amplify what it is that you're after.
Definitely.
So I think I get really pissed off when people come to me now. And this is one of the things for me, obviously, working in the fitness and the male coaching stuff, is like people get frustrated when you're marketing a quick fix, yet 99% of people will only buy a quick fix.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, what the fuck do you guys really want?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to rob yourself? This literally just popped into mind, so I'm going to say it and it might come out really
go
weird,
but
it's like, it could be like parenting where you have a child and you're like, I just want them to be 18 so I can share a beer with them or yeah, whatever, sure. But you don't focus on the journey. And I know a lot of parents can relate to this, that they're so focused on work, they miss seeing their children grow up.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think, you know, that's so similar to life and learning skills. Like if you don't exercise, if you don't put the hard work in the gym, when you get the result, you don't understand how to maintain that long term. You don't understand the highs and lows that you know should have gone through. It should have, because I'm saying it's always like a roller coaster, because every obstacle or low point is an opportunity for you to learn and grow, right? It exposes something in you that you need to fucking work on.
It's but I've got like the last couple of days, some of you guys, a lot of you guys who watch my stuff will know I'm having some challenges around shared parenting with my daughters at the moment, and we were just talking about this before. So the last couple of days I've been struggling. It's been a really tough road. I've been pretty upset, pretty emotional, because yeah, we're going through a process, having to go to court. There's all sorts of stuff that I won't go into detail of, but the going through that process, I'm like, why can I possibly be going through this? This sucks. Like I'm really hating it. But it's all about me understanding that one of the groups of men that I really want to influence is divorced dads, because I go to a huge amount of people who are in that situation, separated from their kids, or don't see them all the time. And how do they handle that? How do they make sure that they're being the best dads they can be? And part of that for me is going, well, I've got to be able to speak from a lived experience, like the police stuff or like the other anything else I talk about. So therefore, this whole journey of going through this stuff is really tough and it sucks. But I know long term what it's about is actually me going through that process and doing the hard work over a long period of time. It's been 5.5 years now to get to a point to know what the right thing to do is. If I had to just cruise through and, you know, separated from the girl's mum, and then, you know, 6 months later, everything was sweet, we were best friends, and the girls and I were 50-50. Well, that's not really a lived experience. That's not the hard work. And there's a question here from Wayne. He's a guy from Canada, police officer from Canada. He's a great guy that I've connected with recently. He said, regarding the work, where does someone start? Would you recommend starting with a coach, mentor? If so, what should you consider when choosing someone?
I think it's all dependent upon your personal situation, right? So for myself, I personally didn't start with a coach or mentor. Knowing what I know now, I definitely can, you're talking about shortcuts, but like, if you want to get held accountable and move forward quickly, like obviously, you know, look at it as like a 100-meter dash, find someone who has the results that you want. Obviously, yeah, the journey is not going to be the same, so you got to understand that. Nothing's guaranteed, right? So, say for example, if I'd seen Sean come out of, been through all the stuff he went through and I was going through something similar, I cannot guarantee, and nor could Sean guarantee, that it's going to be the exact same outcome. But through his lived experiences, or any mentor's lived experiences, they've helped me, and I've made sure I've aligned myself with mentors who have been through stuff that I've been through. It's helped guide me, and then I've had my own lived experiences from that process, right? So it's been super helpful. But when I first started out on the whole personal development, like nearly 5 years ago, I didn't see the value in investing in myself. Yeah. So, you know, the first thing for me was a book. So I started reading books, but what I failed to do was implement a lot of the stuff that I was reading. So I became like an information junkie. So that's obviously for me why a mentor has been more beneficial. Obviously then podcasts, or even attending, like if you don't want a full-time mentor, just attending events, right? There's so many events on worldwide, yeah, right? Sure. Like all around the place, whether they're 2-day events, 5-day events, even 1-day events, right? You can benefit from all of that stuff. But what it, for me and from my own experience, is I now am at a point in my life where I can read a lot and I'll implement it, but I also have a mentor to hold me accountable. So I do the shit that I say I'm going to do, rather than just being like, I like it, I'll get to it in a month's time.
And the thing with the work, like Wayne, for you specifically too, mate, knowing your story, the thing for the work is that like knowing that you're going to come across tough times and hurdles and whatever, if you're working with a coach or a mentor, to me, put it into a sporting realm as an example. So I look at like Lockie and I both do CrossFit, which is about Olympic lifting, right? Snatch and clean and jerks and all that sort of stuff. And the thing is, if I was to go and do CrossFit, every CrossFit session you go to, there's a coach. Now, Lachlan and Brad, the guy they train with, they sort of coach each other. I go into a class scenario where there's a dedicated coach. But the thing is, when you understand that the people who already know and have already done and have already been there, they have a little bit of a quick fix, actually. They have the ideas and experience and that to be able to help them get through easily. And for me, it's simple things like, when I started doing this stuff 15 years ago, the results that and this isn't a sales spiel because obviously I coach and mentor people, so does Locke. But I look at, it took me 15 years to get to where I am, 16 years or something to get to where I am now. And I read every book, did a lot of stuff, went and worked with hypnotherapists, kinesiologists, every what I call hippie weirdo I could find. And I tied that all together right into what I do now. If somebody was to go along the same path I went along, it would take them 15 years to do it, probably. I worked with a guy earlier this year who's on this call, ironically, and I was before. And we worked together for 3 months or 4 months. And the growth that he got would probably be, I would say, comparable to 5 or 6 years worth of the stuff I got before, because you can literally, because of my experience, can tie it up in a box and give it to him with a ribbon on it and go, do this. Because you're not trialing and erroring, that's even a saying, things to get there, right? So if you want to find a good coach or someone, you got to just look at someone that you connect with. It's got to be someone that you go, they've got to motivate you, you've got to be inspired by them. You've got to look at that person in some way and think, I want to be like them. Now, it doesn't mean, and this sounds so egotistical because I'm talking about Lockie and I, right? But please stick with me, because it's something to me that's really important. If you want to work with a coach or a mentor or whatever it is, you've got to like that person. You've got to look at that person and go, you know what? I really want to be more of what that person's like, their confidence, their emotional awareness, whatever it might be. So same thing as if I'm going to go and work with a personal trainer, as a very simple example, and Lockie works in the fitness industry, I'm not going to go and work with a fat personal trainer. So if I want somebody to help me get fit and healthy, then I'm not going to go and work with someone who's 30 kilos overweight, clearly. It's a simple thing. If you're going to go and work with a coach or a mentor, look at someone who's got the runs on the board, who's done the work themselves. So like, I've been working on this for 15 years out of PTSD, depression, blah, blah. A lot of you guys know my story. Lockie's been doing his for 5. And both of us are only really starting to coach people in the last year or two.
Yeah.
Max. So we didn't sort of go and do a weekend course at a life coaching institute and go, God, I might go and do that now. Because you've really got to find someone who's walked the path or walked the talk or who inspires you. The version of the story can be different, but the outcome's got to be similar. You've got to want to be a similar sort of person.
Yeah, 100%.
Got a couple of good questions, actually.
Yeah, so, and just on that as well, There comes a time as well, or I've been through the experience where I've outgrown people. So you want to, as you grow and develop as a human being, like, you're going to start finding new interests, new values in yourself and stuff you want to explore. So don't feel, well, the way I look at it is like, once I've reached a point where I'm like, okay, thanks for getting me to where I want to be or guiding me to where I want to be, then I go looking for that next phase of myself. Absolutely. Don't ever feel like you have to hold yourself back because you don't want to offend a coach or a mentor. Like, people understand, or they should understand, it's like any fitness coach, right? As your goals change, you might need to change coaches as well, which is a normal thing. Because at the end of the day, like, the whole point of having a coach is a selfish experience, I believe. It's because you're trying to improve some aspect of yourself, whether it's health, you know, people who have financial coaches, business coaches, all that sort of stuff. You're trying to get something from it.
And that's a great point, Locke, because if you're a good mentor or coach and you're helping people put in the work, you should be wanting them to develop to a point where they're on their own. Like, to me, working with this guy earlier in the year, and after 3 or 4 months, I was like to him, right, we're done.
Yes.
I said, you go now, you got to go now and walk the path yourself. Like, it's the old give someone a fish or teach them the fish is an old saying. Because if you've got someone who's like, sign up with me for a year, my opinion, if they think it's going to take a year to get what you need to get, I wouldn't work with them. That's just me. If they're going, well, I think a good coaching model is somebody, you're going to pay for it, because if you'll get what you pay for. But if this person says to you, lock in for 12 weeks, and at the end of 12 weeks you reassess, if you aren't a long way towards what you want in some areas in 12 weeks, you're not going to be, you know, doing everything. But the good thing about emotional awareness and about personal development is it's not a physical thing. It's not like PT where you go, okay, well, I'm not going to drop 15 kilos in a week.
Yeah.
But you can drop 15 emotional kilos in a week, if that makes sense. Good question here, Robbie Moore, great mate of mine. In your experience, what's the catalyst that helps people get started on the journey?
There's only two things that really make people make decisions. Well, for me, it's pain or pleasure. Right? And what made me make the change was pain, like significant pain in my life. to make that step, like, once again, going back to the health thing, like, when someone gets told they have diabetes or high cholesterol or some health-related disease from being overweight or unhealthy, that's generally enough pain to make someone go, fuck, I need to do something about my health. And you'll probably see them in the gym the next day trying to make some changes, or down at the health food store trying to, you know, fix stuff up, right? And then, once again, pleasure as well. Like I said earlier, and I'll keep using health as a thing, or it's like, if you see someone walking along the beach with an incredible body, whether it's male or female, most people get excited by that and they're like, I would love to look like that. Yeah, I would love to have everyone turning their heads at me at the beach. So that's the pleasure side. For me personally, I believe that pain creates a longer lasting change.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want to go back to shit. When you're chasing pleasure, it's easy to get distracted by other pleasures or things in life.
Mate, I reckon it's pain only. My opinion of it is that because the pain and pleasure things hand in hand, because most people, human beings, are pain averse, and that means that we go away from what's the most painful. So it's the same thing, essentially, as pain versus pleasure. Yeah, we're more, people want to not be in pain, so they want to be essentially in pleasure, but it's actually averting away or avoiding pain. So you think, a simple example, when you put your hand on a hot plate, your body immediately pulls it off because you're avoiding pain. That's what we're physiologically built to do. So when you're looking for the, when you're walking on the beach, or you see the good looking person walking on the beach, the actual process in your mind for most people isn't like, oh wow, they're amazing, I'd like to positively be more like them. It's like, oh man, I'm fat, I wish I looked like that.
Yeah.
So it's a pain thing. So the motivator, Robbie, I think, for people is pain. It really is. Health and fitness example, and we just use that because it's simple. If you're 30 kilos overweight and the pain of getting up at 4 a.m. to go and train is more than the pain of being 30 kilos overweight, you'll stay overweight. At some point, I got a guy that I know from the cops, really good guy, known him for a long time, and I hadn't seen him for a long time, and I saw him probably 6 or 8 months ago, and he had put on a lot of weight, probably 50 kilos, I'd say 40 to 50 kgs overweight. And I was chatting to him, and he'd had quite a few beers, and he sort of said to me, I'd love, you know, I really want to be fit and healthy like you. How do I do that? I said, mate, you just got to get started, right? And he goes, I want to come and train CrossFit with you. I said, you can do that, brother. I said, but what I really want you to do first is stop eating shit food and get up and walk for half an hour every day. I said, because like you're a long way from probably getting the advantage of going and smashing yourself at CrossFit, for instance. I didn't see him for about 5 or 6 months, saw him at a funeral not long ago, and he's dropped a shitload of weight.
Wow.
And I said to him, why? And I knew why when I spoke to him the first time, but I wondered if it had changed, and it hadn't. And one of the things, his son, he went to go fishing with his son, and he bent down to pick up the fishing rod and realized he was so fat he couldn't pick it up. So he was like, I can't do the shit with my son that I want to do. So that pain drove him to change. That's all it is. So if you guys want to do shit in your life that's going to be amazing and change your experience, it's going to be through pain. For me, the process with my kids and the shared parenting stuff at the moment, the pain of me not having the time with my wife has pushed me now to go, okay, now I've got to go into a court process, which I just don't fucking want to do, right? But for 5.5 years or nearly 6 years that we've been separated, the pain of going to court was less than the pain of the problem for my kids. Mm. So now I'm like, now I'm going to do the thing I know I should have done years ago because it's more painful. So it's literally, you will wake up one day and go, fuck this, I've had enough. Or you might. Nobody outside you is going to motivate you.
And so before we get to Sarah's question, on that note, like looking for the pain point, if you know it's something you want to change, but you just don't have that pain point that's strong enough to make you be consistent and change, start putting more references or reference points to the pain.
Yeah. Awesome.
So if you're someone who is sad or gets anxious or, you know, always feeling down on yourself, right? Like I always was just like, I'm an absolute shit human being. Like this is what I do, X, Y, Z. Like looking back, if I had attached reference points to it, and what I mean by reference points, if I had grouped together experiences in my life that thought pattern had really not served me well, I would have built up this huge overwhelming pain because I'd had more than just one experience trying to do it. So although ultimately in the end what it was one event that changed, brought enough pain into my life, I could have done that so much earlier if I had the awareness to be like, right, I will.
Yeah, awesome.
A little bit of pain from this, a little bit of pain from this, a little bit of pain from this. It's like putting legs under a table. The more legs under your table, the more solid it is. So put more legs under your fucking table if you want to change that belief system.
Awesome.
Okay?
And that's a simple example. We'll spend 2 seconds on that. A simple example is when you're looking at... Grab that question.
Sarah.
When you're looking at what Lockie's talking about, we'll use our health and fitness example because it's so easy. If you don't like the way you look, take a photo of yourself in your underwear and put it up on the mirror in your bathroom or put it on your fridge or put it somewhere where then you've got to look at it every day, because what we will do is avoid the pain. So if you want to do something different, exactly what Lockie's saying, build up as much pain as there is, so you've got to change.
Yeah, it's got to be enough to be like, well, fuck, I'm making sacrifices, because I don't like talking to people where they're like, whether it's with health or whatever, and they just keep going on about the same thing, but then they avoid it and go on and carry on doing the same poor habits that have got them to that position in the first place. Where if you just address the situation, you'd be further ahead than what you are right now, right?
Yeah.
So question from Sarah. Other than finding a mentor or someone to keep you accountable, what would you recommend for keeping focus through the journey?
That's probably a hard one, Sarah, because the simple thing is there's no way to stay focused and committed except stay focused and committed. So it's actually just to set goals for yourself. It's to set, depending on what the journey is you're talking about, but is because we're on this health and fitness sort of thing, just as an easy example. Well, actually, I'll give you an emotional awareness example, a personal development one. Every morning, I know Locke's got a similar routine. I get up and I have coffee, I meditate, I journal. I've probably got about an hour that I fit in somewhere in my morning around training and everything that I do that personal development work for myself, gratitude journaling and other sort of things I do. And I do that every day because that's how I keep myself accountable. I don't have a coach or a mentor at the moment, but I have a lot of people like Locke or Rach, my partner, or other people that are around me that absolutely keep me accountable. So Rach is a great example, who she's not only my partner, but she's also unofficially my mentor or coach, and me her. And that brings up some challenges too. Like the last couple of days where I've been struggling, I've been a bit of a shit human to her, like blocked her out and shut her out because she's trying to push me to get through it. So I think it's really hard to do on your own. Like I like to think I'm pretty good at this stuff these days, even though you never get brilliant at it, you still have bad days. But you really need someone to keep you accountable. So even if you're like, you know what, I want to get on this journey of being a better person, so I'm going to grab my good mate and do it together, do that. I think on your own, it's really hard.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, going back to focus, it's like, it's once again, manipulating your surroundings or creating rules to help you win or little things. So health, mindset, whatever it is, like, if you're wanting to shape different beliefs about yourself, like build your self-confidence, it's literally put little reminders everywhere. Like put it on the fridge door, like I'm awesome or whatever. Like it sounds ridiculous, but the more you start reading stuff and start thinking it, the more you're going to start believing it. Because most of the time, the shit you believe is the poor thoughts that are already, you know, you've adopted, or who knows how they've got in your head. You're constantly thinking like, oh, most people are like, I'm fat, I'm not worthy,
absolutely,
I don't deserve to be here.
Yep.
And that's all you're thinking. So of course you're going to believe that.
Yep.
So while you're flexing the muscle, flexing the mind muscle, whatever it is, like put it on your bloody mirror in your bathroom, put it in the shower. Like it sounds ridiculous, but trust me, it works. And if you start saying that with actual meaning and believing it rather than just picking up whatever it is and be like, okay, yeah, read it. And just treat it like a task. It's not a fucking task.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's rewiring your thought pattern. And the more you start doing that, now I read my vision twice a day, 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. And if I know, like this morning, because I was tired, yep, I read it and I just literally read it. And I was like, well, that's not going to work for you today. Go back through and read it so you get goosebumps and get excited by it. And it's, how do you do that? You start visualizing it. What would you look like if you're confident? What does that look like for you? Because if you don't know what it looks like, if you can't visualize it, it's never going to happen.
Another great one I heard, and actually just makes me think I've got to do it again. It's super challenging, and you will feel like an absolute dick doing it. And I did. There's a guy called Trevor Bohm, and runs a thing in the States called The Uncivilized Man that I got onto through someone I know. And something that he put out that I did was actually record yourself every, like once a week. So you actually get your phone and record yourself saying, Sean, you're amazing, you're an awesome guy, you're doing brilliant things in the world, the way you're handling this is amazing. You know, you say you're getting so close to what you want. All of this positive chat for like 6 minutes. So you literally have to talk about yourself positively for 6 minutes into your phone and then listen to it every day. And I did it, and I've got some fairly good narcissistic tendencies. I'm quite happy to talk about myself, and I was massively challenged by that. So getting on video and doing this sort of stuff these days doesn't challenge me at all. Talking openly about stuff doesn't challenge me at all. But doing that was a huge challenge. And when I was listening to it, I was like, when I like would, and I listened to it on the way to the gym in the morning, I'd get in the car and turn it on, and I'd be like, who the fuck are you that you're driving to gym listening to yourself on a recording telling you how amazing you are? It was challenging. But again, that's the sort of stuff, like your voice spins in your head 24/7 telling you how shit you are or what a bad person you are or why things don't work. If you can actually set your day up and then one of the first things you do is that, try it. Like, it sounds stupid, but try it. I found it amazing. I'm going to do it again today, now that I've remembered.
Yeah, and it literally, everything you say comes down to doing the work and understanding what works for you, because there are some people who are literally at a point in their life where they're so mentally strong they can think a thought and start doing it straight away. Then there's people who are literally beginning the journey and they've got all this baggage, right, that they're carrying, that they need to start doing the work, and it's going to be a lot longer process. So you can never compare any of that. So it's understanding, right, you and I, for where we're at, it's probably, you know, you've had 15 years experience of about 5, right? So I would say it's probably a lot easier for you to pick things up in that emotional space.
Yeah, possibly. The other argument to that is also, I had 35 years of shit that I've done bad.
True.
Or that I fucked up. So, like, it's all relative.
Yeah, exactly. So, good point. I was thinking you were 27.
Well, that's right. I look 27.
But, so it's understanding, okay, right, this person's guiding me in this direction, but understand this, that shit's going to pop up for you that may not have popped up for whoever is supporting you or guiding you there. But what you need to understand, that through this whole journey, it's got to be a long-term thing. Like,
absolutely.
Most people go to uni and they sit in a job, right, once they're done, and they try to climb that ladder, right? They're looking at that as a long-term thing. So look at your mental, your mindset, look at your health as a long-term thing. As stuff comes up, learn to deal with it, right? If it means, like I said before, put stuff around the house to remind you, or if it means set the alarm clock in the kitchen so you have to get out of bed, it doesn't make you any less of a person. Of that. It doesn't make you weird. It just means you're fucking determined to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
But people are so worried, being like, oh, this person did this with that, why can't I do it? I'm shit.
And the other thing, and the big one on that I love, and we've got another question from Straz on your laptop. Whoa, we'll get to in a sec.
Up everywhere.
The thing that I love is, this is a saying I heard that I love. We see everybody's stage show, but we never see their back of house. And social media is such a fucking massive one on this, right?
Mm.
So I'm really, really open about the stuff I'm challenged with. Like on my podcasts or videos or whatever, I'm like, had a shit couple of days. I'll get a set here before you know. I've had two rubbish days the last 2 days where I was emotional. I was crying. I was upset at different times. I was fucking angry. Went through some really tough stuff. And I like to think I'm pretty emotionally evolved these days. I don't put out content on social media. I don't put out stuff going, oh, life's amazing, I'm amazing, everything's great, blah, 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 what I call the hashtag blessed. Lockie knows this is one of mine. I fucking hate that hashtag blessed, because if you put hashtag blessed on your photo, I'm like, you're struggling, you just want to convince everyone your life's great. So you're probably going to compare yourself to other people in your life, and you're only seeing their front of house. You're only seeing the version of them they want you to see. You're not seeing them. Like me yesterday, I was sitting here at my house just like, this is fucking bullshit. I was angry, I was frustrated, I was upset. But like, people don't see that. But I tell you about it because I'm like, I don't want to live this life where all of a sudden I'm trying to be someone I'm not. And I did that for many years. When I was in the police, I tried very much to be this tough guy and live up to this image that I thought I needed to be. Not thinking anybody else had the same issues, but they had exactly the same issues of fear and like going to shootings or going to violent stuff. They were terrified. I just thought it was me because everybody else had a mask and pretended that it wasn't. So when it comes down to doing the work, it's about understanding that Lockie and I do, like, fuck, everything in my life goes through the filter of how it affects me with my personal development, how I can be a better person, what I can do to be the best version of me. Then, and I've been doing it 15 years and I'm still doing it. At 48, I'll be doing this for the next 50 years or 60 years till I die, because this is a lifestyle. It's a way of being. It's not a fucking 30-day challenge. No. It's not a 30-day challenge, and this is, does my head in when people do the old do this 30-day fucking whatever challenge. I thought of one, but I won't say what it is. And lose weight. And people go, oh, man, I lost 8 kilos in 30 days. Awesome. Then they're back on the couch eating pizza and Doritos and drinking soft drink by the liter and go, oh, why do you get fat again?
Yeah. I'm more like with stuff like that, I say, what did you learn?
Absolutely.
If you were just on autopilot and didn't learn a single fucking thing during whatever it is, it's as good as useless to you.
Definitely.
It's literally the lotto is a perfect one. You know, you see people win millions of dollars, and I can't remember the exact statistics, but it's like 12 months later,
it's 87% or something ridiculous.
They've lost some money because they haven't developed or grown to be the person they need to be in order to be able to manage that.
Yeah.
It's the same with your health. Like, most, and I used to do this when there were people who always lived at the gym. I was like, these guys have got no life. They're boring, da-da-da-da-da. And I was trying to justify myself for being a lazy, beer-loving dude. But what I learned through the process or my own journey was that as they changed their priorities and started focusing and obviously had different goals, they started making sacrifices to achieve that. And now looking back at that, like, I've got huge respect for people who can do that because they're so focused and they're not worried about society or people in their environment telling them what they should be or shouldn't be doing. Because at the end of the day, and this will go back to Straz's question in a minute, but it's like, how do you stay focused? Because I believe, like, if the goals you need to set have to be in some way selfish, right? Even even people who do huge amounts of charity work, from the outside, it's like, that's fucking amazing. But deep down, there's also a level of selfishness there, right? It brings it back to you feeling good. Having people go, oh, you know, Tony Robbins, for example, feeds like 100 million people, which is phenomenal. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. But I can only imagine how good that makes him feel, because he's become a person who is in a position to now help 100 million people every year eat.
Yeah, awesome.
Like, that would make me feel fucking
good. Me too.
So,
selfishly, that's why I do this work. I do this work because I love helping people, because it makes me feel amazing. It would touch, go to Straz's question.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're right. Don't be silly. And he's left the police and gone through some struggles. And he said if he's found consistency in doing the good things is the big issue. So interesting your further thoughts on this. It's easy when you're up, but hard when you're down and not feeling confident. Absolutely, Straz. I find that, like I've talked about the last couple of days, having real challenges, that the thing for me is then that's when the habit kicks in. So I just know it's literally a thought process of going, I feel like shit. I really want to sit in the couch and on the couch and do nothing. And yesterday, that's pretty much what I did. Like, I did a lot of personal development stuff. I went out and did a couple of things, but I didn't train. I didn't do much at all because I was exhausted. And I'm like, that's what I needed. I knew in my heart, intuition, in my gut, what I needed. For you guys, it's about setting up the example. And Thursday for me, I've just set up to go, that's going to be my rest day from training. So yesterday was a rest day. If it was on Wednesday, I felt like crap, but I still went to the gym, still went and trained, still did my thing because I knew that's my routine and that's what I do. So it's not about how I feel. It's about what I'm going to do. And the easiest way to get the consistency, Straz, is just keep doing it. And understand, when you're in that place, when you're struggling, when you're in a tough spot and you're going through a similar thing I did, leaving the cops, right? When you're in that PTSD depression or whatever version of that it is, because it doesn't really matter what version it is, to be honest. Everybody has challenges. But when you're in that challenge place, physiologically, our bodies are built and our systems, our minds are built to stop us experiencing pain. So if you're experiencing pain emotionally, your body and your mind, your limbic brain, your lizard brain, your prehistoric brain, actually sits at the top of your spine, at the back of your head, goes, this is painful, stop doing it. So that can be the simplicity of getting up at 4 a.m. to go and train. This is painful. Stop doing it. Feeling really sad and feel like shit. This is painful. Stop doing it. So that's what will drive you to eat shit food, drink alcohol.
Yes, I
do. Do any of those things that will give you an instant dopamine or serotonin hit, but long term are going to cause you a lot of dramas. It's because those things are like a drug. the only way to stay consistent doing the good things is stay consistent doing the good things. There's no other fucking answer. There is no simple answer. It's actually just habit, it's drive, it's commitment. And if you have a day that's shit, where you fall off the wagon and you don't do what you should do, brush it off, get up the next day, do the new thing. I used to, like years ago, be in the habit with training, like I'd go, right, this Monday, I'm really going to get in and start training. I'm going to go hit the gym, I'm going to do my thing. Then fucking Monday, I'm there. Then Monday would come, I'd be hungover from the weekend, and then I'd go, right, Tuesday, definitely Tuesday. Yep. Then it'd be, oh, I'm tired, or fucking, you know, my cat's sick. I've never had a cat, but whatever. I'll do Wednesday. And then by, Wednesday or Thursday, I haven't done it. Then I'd go, oh, fuck it. But next Monday, I'll definitely start. Because all you're doing is putting it off. If it's, you know what? What I realized and blew my mind, you can start trading on a Thursday. You don't have to wait till Monday. It's amazing. Yeah. Such a weird thing. You will avoid painful things. It comes back to the same thing. If you're not doing the good things you know that are going to help, smack yourself in the head and get up and go and do it.
Is that recording, by the way?
This, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Last week we didn't.
Offer the point, yeah.
But yeah, also on that, it's like when people say that to me, and this is once again, I believe it's all just excuses. Like I have days where I feel like absolute shit. Yeah. And like I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to go out of my room, really, right?
Yeah, sure.
But what my thought is that like when I used to have a job, there were days where I felt shit. There were days where I was hungover. There were days that I just didn't want to go, but I still had to go. I still went. I didn't have to go. I chose to go. Right? So my question to you is, if you still have highs and lows in your life, do you still get up and go to work every single day that you need to, even if you feel shit? You pull it together. So why? Most of us get paid. That's why we fucking go.
Yeah, that's right. So if you don't, you lose your job, maybe.
Yeah, like, that might exactly. Be the motivation. Like there's pain result. I don't get paid. I can't do this. I, you know, lose my job, then I don't get paid. So you got to ask yourself, and once again, start putting more trigger points around it. To if I don't get out of bed, even though I'm feeling shit and following my routine, which I know is designed to make me feel better in the morning, what am I going to lose? What's the payoff from that? And make it so painful that no matter what, it pulls you out of bed.
Yeah.
Like it pulls you out of that sad state, because you know once you get moving, I know when I used to feel sad and down, like the one thing I shouldn't have been doing was sitting there going, oh, I feel so sad and down, I just want to stay alone and be by myself today, because all I was doing when I'd sit at home was thinking about how sad and alone I am. So absolutely. Do you think I'm going to fucking get out of that rut? Of course not. But it was so hard to go get out of bed, get in front of people, or even just pick up a book or listen to an audio or just go sit in the sun, do something.
Definitely.
Because as soon as you start being proactive, it changes your whole thought pattern and you realize, hey, I'm actually in control. And I wrote this down just before. It was something I was going to do a video on today anyway, so we may as well talk about it. But time heals all. You know, it's something that, once again, I think this is put in the work. It's got something a lot to do with. It's like people say time heals all wounds or all pain. But my question, and I'd love you to
give your
spin on it, is does it only heal shit, or are we just burying it as time goes on? Like, are we finding ways to sort of suppress that emotion or that thought in ourself? And are we actually dealing with it?
Yeah, sure. Mate, I think the easy version of it... Hey, Roach. Talking about you. Positively. The easy version of it is, I think time heals all wounds if you're doing the work. And ironically, Rach joins now, like when I was saying, you know, the last couple of days where I've been really struggling and having such a tough time, it feels like nothing's ever going to change in the middle of it. But when I look at the last couple of days have been really tough around the kids, if I go back 5 years, that those tough days would have lasted a month or something, probably. So it was probably 24 hours, 36 hours, I was doing it pretty tough in the last couple of days. That would literally have lasted a month or more before. And the reason that it is easier is because I've done the work and I know that I can go through it faster. It's still just as intense. It's still just as tough. I can still be just as much of a prick like I was to Rach when through it because I'm hurting. But, and that's not an excuse, but I lock myself away and just do the work hard and lean into it. So a saying I heard the other day is like, if you're in pain, lean into it, don't avoid it. And that's what I do these days. So if something's tough and I'm hating it, I lean into it and try and just get through it fast. So if you think the, we were talking, like Lockie and I, we've got the ice bath at the gym now. I've been doing that. So for instance, I was watching one of Lockie's videos with Brad the other day that he trains with. And Brad's a great, funny dude, such a funny guy. And I was watching him sneak into the ice bath, right? Like he's like getting in slowly, slowly, slowly. And to me, that's how most people approach pain. It's just, I just want to do the minimum amount I can, just the littlest bit, the littlest bit. Now, to me, in the ice bath, I get in and go straight down up to my neck because it's just as fucking cold. But the faster I get in, the quicker I get in that pain, the quicker I immerse myself in it, the faster my body reacts, the more comfortable I get more quickly. So for Brad, I'm watching him getting in going, oh, brother, you're making that so fucking hard because it's, you're just doing a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. So if you can actually get in and do, be comfortable to get in the pain as quick as you can, just get in it. Like dive into it, lean into it and do your best to feel it as much as you can. And then that's how time heals all. The time is you're going to go through, sounds so silly, but 7 liters of pain, right? So you're going to have to drink 7 liters of pain through a particular circumstance. Are you going to drink that in 100 mil lots over 6 months? Or are you going to skull 7 liters of it in one day, feel like shit, but be in and out of it fast? For me, I want to do the second one. I want to be in and out of pain as quick as I can, hit it hard, get out. Same with training. I could easily go and walk for half an hour a day and it wouldn't be very painful. Or I can go and do CrossFit and be smashed and feel like I'm going to die and want to quit every workout because I push myself to a limit. But I know the second lot gets me a lot fitter and a lot healthier, a lot faster than walking half an hour a day. It's how much pain you're willing to go into. And to me, if I'm in this much pain or I'm in that much pain, it's still the same shit. Like, lean into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Mm. Cool.
Answered it for me.
So, it's for a lot of you guys too, the other things that when you look at doing the work, so many people, I think, just obviously want to do it the easy way, and I get why they do, but there is no easy way. It doesn't matter what it is, right? It doesn't matter whether you're an elite athlete, whether you're an elite business person, whether you're doing what Lockie and I do, whether as you're going to be a great husband or wife, a good mum or dad, whatever, there is no easy option. Like, I can't stress that enough. It's all about work. It's all about time. And here's two things that I love. It will take a lot more effort than you think, and it will take a lot longer than you think. And that's just life. So when you're in the middle of the shit fight that you're in and you don't want it to be going on and you want it to be over quick, unfortunately, it's going to take a lot longer than you think. And that's just how the world works. Because the other one for me is that you will overestimate what you can do in a year. So you go, I really want to have this done in the next year, and it won't be sustainable. It won't be achievable. Or you go, or I can achieve, and you'll grossly underestimate what you can do in a decade. So you'll overestimate what you can do in 1 year. You'll underestimate what you can do in one decade. And that to me is the key. If you just get into the lifestyle and the habit of just like, and what I get, my stuff isn't even just a lifestyle. Like, I don't drink anymore. I eat paleo. I train well. I do heaps of personal development. That's just who I am. It's not what I do. It's just I've changed from even 10 years ago being like a lunatic. I'd be hitting the piss hard, drinking hard, partying hard, angry, not training well, all this shit. Like, I was just a really destructive human in my own life. And now 10 years later, I'm a dramatically different person because I've put in the work to get there. And the first time you do it, it'll be hard. The second time be easier. The next time be easier. And eventually, if you just keep doing it, then for me now, not getting up and training in the morning feels more uncomfortable than doing it. That's really the consistency part again for you to do the work.
That was phenomenal, man. That was really something.
Beautiful.
That's good. I was just sitting here in your wisdom.
Punch through any other questions you want on this, guys. You're welcome. Wayne saying thanks for the in-depth response. It's really just the simplest shit for me in life is break it down to two things. And I said this last week. If you've got self-awareness to know who you are, know what works and what doesn't, and then have the patience to do the work to make it fucking happen. There's really nothing else to life. It's really that simple. And if you don't have the self-awareness, find it. And that's, you can coaches or like, there's so much stuff. There's so much stuff on YouTube and podcasts and whatever. And the other part is, and actually back to Straz and was it Jane? Was it the other person who asked a question? I can't remember. about them, about mentors and those things. Another good place to go is find people who you can watch from a distance, if you like, as a mentor. And Lockie and I are like that now. Like, I've got, you know, 700 and something daily podcasts. Lockie's doing podcasts. We do videos every day. We do all that sort of stuff. There's Gary Vaynerchuk's another guy I watch who I love, like Tony Robbins, if he's your jam or not. There's so many people out there who can keep you accountable and give you the information, but it's still going to fall back in your lap. That's why having someone you work with on your own, like one-on-one, that actually talks to you once a week or twice a week and goes, right, how many times you trained? Have you done that? Have you done that? No, why not? Makes it a lot easier. But that's another way to sort of hack that, I guess. I want to go into a bit of stuff with you, like about, because people know my story a lot, but in yours a bit more. What was the big pain point for you that motivated you to change from who you were? Like, say you were a professional athlete, living the dream that most people would think, playing football overseas, playing football here, doing all that stuff, being a bit of the king of the world, right? Like, people knew who you were. As a 21 or 20, you know, 18, 20, 21-year-old guy, that would have been pretty amazing. Why did you walk away? What got to the point that you changed?
I don't even know where to start. So
it's pain. What was the pain?
It's definitely pain. I think the whole time that I was chasing what I thought was being an elite athlete was... So growing up, yeah, I was always like a state national champion runner, and then footy came into the whole thing. So the whole time I was growing up, I'd always been fueled or spoken to. The first thing people were like, oh, congratulations. So...
Yep.
I was always fueled by recognition, right? And then as like things weren't going to plan or the way I wanted them to go, I started having that loss of identity, like who the fuck am I now? Like, I'm not getting that recognition that I learned to crave. So how else am I gonna get recognized? How else am I gonna feel significant? And for me, that came through obviously trying to be a dickhead on the piss and do a lot of drugs and womanize. Like, I even enjoyed the drama of women, like, not like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Purely
because, so as in the drama that
it made me feel recognized, it made me feel significant. Like, I had the limelight on me again. So it got to a point where, although that's what I was creating in my life, I knew deep down that I was fucking here to do something bigger. And this could probably help with the people who are saying, where do you start or how do you start? It's like, I knew what was going on, but I didn't know what it was I was looking for. And fortunately, like, an event happened. And that was enough pain for me to be like, oh, fuck. It scared me sober, right? And it got to the point where I was like, I can be better than this. And it was literally the next day, I was like, I'm not drinking anymore.
Awesome.
Still did, but, like, I made that decision. I think everyone's done it, but I don't binge drink anymore. I know how to stop, like, after two beers. Like, because every time I drink too much, there's that pain point where I'm like, if I drink anymore, who knows what's going to happen, because I was a blackout drunk.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, then obviously I started reading. Like, the first book I ever got given, which I'm so grateful for, is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Awesome.
Boring. Like, if you're a 23-year-old and you get given that book, you're just like, peel back my eyelids. This is hectic. But when I got to the end of the book, like, I persisted through it because it was a gift and I didn't want to be rude. I got the message, right? And it could be any book for anyone. So don't underestimate how much giving someone a book or even a podcast can change someone's life. Because that was the point where I read this. And first of all, I was stoked that I actually read a book that wasn't like Harry Potter or something like that. And secondly, it was like, I can change like who I am. I don't know what or who I want to become, but I just don't want to be this guy anymore. And there was enough pain attached to that current identity that I just fully changed. And it's like, I've slipped back, and, you know, as we all do, but it's like creating more awareness around, right, what triggers have made me slip back, what feelings have made me slip back, like, and really understanding how I can control my emotions and use that pain to fuel me in the right direction and obviously to what I'm doing now. And I believe as a result of that, like, what I was chasing all along wasn't, you know, to be a professional athlete. It was chasing... I think for me, it was just fulfillment in becoming the best version of myself. Like, as an athlete, you're trying to become the best.
I reckon for you, mate, a lot of it is knowing you now.
Yeah.
Was wanting to be and do something significant in your life. Like, it was actually to be someone significant and do something significant. For you, you thought it was to play football and be idolized, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
But knowing the guy you are now and what you do now, it's actually to know that you're contributing and doing something significant. So, like, when you die and you leave the planet, you'll leave it a better place than you found it.
Yeah.
And that is a question from Jace Hill. How are you, brother? Guy I used to work with the Coppers many years ago. How did you know? Did someone tell you, or was it personal embarrassment? And hey, Toddy, if you talk it like for Lockie, so the question I think what Jace is asking is, how did you know you were being a shit human? Did someone tell you, or like, was it your own embarrassment? What motivated you?
Both.
Me too.
I don't think it was more embarrassment, maybe. Oh, I guess it was to a degree, but I was told all the time, but especially from girls, I was told how much of a shit human being I was. But then the boys idolized that. So it was like being just friction. It's like, I know I'm doing the wrong thing by these ladies, but at the same time, I go back to the lads and they think I'm the greatest fucking human in the world, which is, it's terrible, right? And that's what, you know, we're trying to do is help.
It comes back to the sum total of the five people you spend the most time.
If I'd been hanging around you back in the day, you would have clipped me around the ears and been like, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
Yeah, definitely. Well, nowadays. Absolutely.
You know?
But if I was hanging around you, which I wouldn't have been because I'm older, but at your age, I would have been that same guy going, yeah, well done, because I was that same grub. And it is, Jace, to answer your question from my point of view, is that like part of it was the main reason I really significantly changed who I was is, see you, Stansy, is because I just was like, fuck, I don't like who I am anymore. And if I'm honest, I didn't really like who I was even back then, but again, it was a pain thing. So as I got older, and a significant turning point was my daughter was born in 2005. That was a huge turning point. Because I was struggling massively. I was too stupid to understand that the PTSD, depression, all the stuff I'd created in my life, conflict, like, you know, I had 7 years of complaints in the police for assault and different things like that. And none of that was, and obviously I would say this, but none of that was actually because I was super heavy-handed. It was because I worked my guts out and just buried myself in that identity as a police officer. And as silly as it sounds, police, being in dog squad and being the police to me was like being a professional athlete. That was my dream from the time I was so little, as long as I can remember. And funnily enough, it was the same thing because there was significance. People looked at you different. You did have a bit of authority or a bit of whatever because I was a cop, because I was in the dog squad, and there was like, I think 43 out of 6,000 in Queensland. So it was pretty hard to get into. So all that sort of shit meant that, yeah, I felt like I was pretty cool, and exactly the same thing, drinking heaps, fighting heaps, chasing heaps of women. And it was ironically the same thing. And I think it's pretty sad because that's the society that we build for young men.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
That's the stuff that we idolise in young men is, oh, he's such a lad. He's so one of the boys. And now I'm like, and I was the king of, I had a group of probably 15 mates, the boys. And that was the whole thing. That we were so, I'd do anything for the boys and blah, blah, blah. And that was awesome, man. And the brotherhood part was great. But the behaviour was bullshit because we were like a fucking bunch of sheep just following each other in circles, doing the same negative, destructive behavior. If one of us had the courage, if I'd had the courage to be the guy I really am, because I've always been this guy I am now, loving, connected, caring, wanting to be a good person. When I was behaving like a shit human, it went against who I was. Like I was really, I don't know if you had the same experience.
Yep.
I was so uncomfortable in it, but I did it because it made me popular in amongst a group of other Neanderthal morons like I was. I'm like, what the fuck did I want that for? And I didn't have somebody like me who was going to be around who had the same sort of level of emotional awareness or whatever I have now to be able to be different. Another mate of mine, Toddy Harlan, a legend, we've been friends for a long time, he said big reason why he separated his police life by having an outlet with sport, got a different perspective. Exactly right. So he played rugby and surrounding yourself with different people to have a different idea. It is so much about who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, and I think people, it's the amount of, so one of the reasons why I don't like being around big groups of people is because I feel you never get to genuinely connect with people.
Correct.
And I'm like I've said on previous calls, like I hate all that superficial shit chat.
Yeah.
Where you go out, have a few drinks, and everyone's like, oh, how's your day? What do you do?
What's your favorite color?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Like it's like, I want to know what's going on with you. Because yep. So many people are struggling, they're in the same boat because everyone's trying to fit in. You know, like it's back at school, I went to a rugby school. You got bullied if you played chess, you got bullied if you did drama. You were the cool kid if you did rugby. So everyone was trying to play rugby even if they fucking hated it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they just wanted to be cool, right? And I think everyone's wanting to be some, you know, whether it's successful, cool in a cool group, a party or whatever environment they're hanging around, so many people are misaligned with who they truly are that they're fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it comes back to job or literally just who you're hanging around. But it's people have got to start growing the balls to learn to say no. It's like, I don't like partying, which is, and I, there's nothing against people who do like partying because I used to love it, right? It's just where you're at. So it's understanding who you are, right? And what actually excites you and drive. Because I would much rather hang out with a group of people who say, hey, let's go for a hike on a Sunday than a group of people who say, let's go get drunk again. Doesn't fucking interest me anymore. And there's, once again, it's nothing against people who like doing that or nothing against people who like going on hikes. It's just what people want.
And see, I'll go stronger than that. I think it is against people who go out drinking all the time. And now I did it for years, so I'm a fucking hypocrite. I'm like the reformed smoker who's like, you know, button out your cigarette. But I did it for years because I was self-medicating because I wasn't happy with who I was. I went and had a sauna and an ice bath at the gym yesterday, and there was two young girls in the sauna and I was in there just chatting, and it was so funny. Like, I reckon they're probably early 20s, maybe. I'm talking about a 21st, so I'm guessing they're around 21. And the chat between the two of them, and they had a friend on FaceTime or something when I walked in there in the sauna, right? And they were just, it was just this shit chat of 21-year-old girls, which is so cool, right? They were fine, but they're like, what about this and what about that, blah, blah, blah. And as I was listening to them a couple of times, I was just sitting with my eyes closed, and a couple of times one of them goes, oh, I'm so sorry, you've got to listen to this dribble. I said, no stress. I said, I was 21 months, I get what it's like. But they were talking about, oh, I can't believe so-and-so did that, and this happened, and that happened, and oh, I totes wouldn't do that. And they had all the right language and all the cool kid shit. And I was listening to them going, one of the most disconnected conversations I've ever heard. Because here's two girls who are in there both trying to impress each other, use the same language, try and make sure that they were cool for the other person. And that's being 21. So I'm not judging them. That's cool. But they were talking about, oh, let's do this and let's do that, and we'll go out on the weekend and get wrecked, and this person will come and they'll come. I hope they don't come because they're not really cool, and blah, blah. And I'm like, all very normal 21-year-old stuff. I was like, I would love to be able to give them a pill. And we're talking about magic pills, obviously, so you can't. But give them a pill that goes, gives them the wisdom that I have at 48, at 21, to go, you don't have to pretend to be someone else for people to like you. If you are the real you, the right people will like you. If you've got to pretend to be someone else, you're not around the right people. And it can be hard when you're at school. I've got a really good mate of mine who I saw was on here before, who texted me, and his son was having some problems with bullying in his school. And he said to his son, like, just stay strong, brother. And he did some amazing stuff and helped his young fella out. And I've met his son a number of times. I don't live where I live. 15-year-old kid, and just an absolute champion. Really confident, good kid. He's amazing at hip-hop dancing. So he does dancing. I said, do you cut my chin? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, I do, but he goes, I don't care. I love doing that. And he's just this awesome little dude. He does boxing. He's a pretty tough guy. And when the guys are bullying, his dad was like, mate, if they put it on you, like, at some stage, pull them on. If you've got to fight, you've got to fight. And he's like, no, Dad, that's not what I want to do. So for you guys, we're getting the wind-up on the live here in 2 minutes, so we'll have to cut it.
Yeah.
But for me, there's two quick things I want to touch on for you. Don't be trapped in the once I get that thing, then I'll be happy. And we might even use that as our topic next week, because that's the massive thing we all fall into. Once I get that thing, I'll be happy. Relationship, money, yep. Lose weight, whatever. And the other thing I want you to understand is you are going to fall off the wagon. I fall off the wagon of my personal development, doing what I should do, training and blah, blah. Rarely these days, but I do. The last couple of days I did. Lockie does.
I always do.
Take it easy on yourself. No one's fucking perfect. The hashtag blessed life you see people live is bullshit. It's not fucking real.
No, and I think if more people were open about it, so we talk about how much of a shit day we've had. Why don't we talk about what's really going on as well when someone asks how you are? It's like, once again, just quickly, so when I talk to people, like if I'm talking to females, I think you're hitting on them, but it's
yeah.
It's not that. It's like I'm actually interested in finding a little bit about you, and people never get that level of conversation anymore. So they think it's the most incredible experience of their life.
Yeah.
And it goes for men as well. Like if you can get a man to open up and start talking about his feelings or what's really going on, it's the most incredible conversation you'll ever have.
Fuck yeah.
But people are always pushing them away, like, what do you want to know all my business for? But it's like, people need to start having those conversations. Otherwise, we're going to see the suicide statistics keep going the way they're going.
Absolutely. So we got 20 seconds, so we're out. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Jump on, go to my page, Lockie's page. You'll find all our stuff there for thestronglifeproject.com for podcasts and stuff. What's your website?
And Well Fit with Lockie Stewart podcast as well.
Done. Right.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. Bye. See ya.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.